Let's chat.
Radio Disney talks to special guests from around the bay with something to say. Let's find out who we've got today on Let's Chat.
Good morning, everybody. And summer's coming up. Like I've mentioned before, kids are out. Kids are having fun. Mostly all schools in the Bay Area are out. But during the summer is also the time when there are a lot of kids end up forgetting about what they've been taught in school. And so to help us out with that, we have several people here today in the studio telling us about a summer learning loss resolution. So to help us out today, we have three special guests. Our first guest, if you could please introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself as well.
I'm co-chair of the Summer Matters campaign, which is a statewide campaign that is working to really raise awareness about this phenomenon called summer learning loss and make sure that all kids keep learning over the summertime.
So we have Jennifer Peck from Summer Matters campaign co-chair.
Hi, I'm Carol Kosovar. I'm president of the California State PTA, and the resolution you mentioned is a resolution by the California State PTA to let people know about the importance of making sure our kids keep learning during the summer so that there isn't any summer learning loss.
Perfect.
And I'm Diana MacDonald. I'm the Vice President for Education for the California State PTA. And it was my commission that actually authored the resolution and did the research behind this. And we worked very closely with Partnership for Children and Youth to have all the background information needed to pass the resolution at our convention.
The one thing that you guys have mentioned, of course, is this is all about summer learning loss. And during the summer, like I've mentioned before, kids either sign up for camps, like, you know, outdoor camps, or even things where they don't pay attention much to what they learn. They don't practice it. They don't go over it as much. What is summer learning loss, and why isn't it an important issue for parents, the students, and schools?
Well, summer learning loss is what happens and can happen to any student if they're not practicing the skills and reinforcing the knowledge they learn during the school year. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. If you're not practicing something that you've learned, you can forget. And this is exactly what happens to students over the long summer break. And one of the facts I think a lot of people are unaware of is that if kids aren't reading consistently over the summer, they can lose up to 2 months of their reading skill that they gain during the year. They can also lose up to 2 months of math skill if they're not practicing some of the math concepts that they learn during the school year. And this can really set kids behind when they get back to school in the fall. So it's extremely important that parents and students are paying attention to reinforcing those skills over the summer.
So reading and math tend to go down a lot more. Is there anything, any other subjects that end up going down, or are those the main ones that end up?
Well, this can be true for any content area, but the math and the reading, and I would say reading in particular, can be particularly damaging to a student's ongoing educational success, because if the reading skill is not in place, they can't be functional in all of their other subjects. And so reading is one of the ones that we're most concerned about.
And then for parents, how does summer learning loss affect them? Because this is also the time for sometimes the parents to spend time with their kids that they might not get to do so when they're in school from, you know, say 8 in the morning till 3 p.m.
So how does it affect parents?
Yes.
Well, one of the things that it does is it makes you think about sort of the future of your kids, because you want to make sure that your kids are well prepared throughout the year. And as you plan your summer, to think about what can I do? It is my responsibility as a parent to help my child learn how to read, to do well in math. So what can I do during the summer months to help my child do better? And that means planning some time to take your child to the library or go to a park and recreation or being involved in music or art. All of those things contribute to the imagination and the creativity of a child. And those are skills that we need to develop in our children. So how does it affect parents? It makes parents, I think about what is our responsibility and how can we help our children during the summer.
And what is the importance for schools as well?
Yeah, well, there's some emerging research around the amount of money that schools have to spend on reteaching children what they've forgotten over the summer. So it has a significant impact on schools. And if you talk to any teacher who has a classroom full of kids who haven't been practicing their reading and other skills over the month, they're very frustrated about the amount of reteaching they have to do, and they don't get to hit the ground running at the beginning of the school year. So there's definitely a cost impact on schools, and then they can't get really into the content at the beginning of the year that they need to. And I would also say that it's been a huge challenge for schools in trying to bridge this thing we call the achievement gap between, you know, lower income and poor children and their middle and higher income peers, which is a big struggle for a lot of schools to really bridge that gap in the opportunities that low and middle income children have that are very different. And in the summer is where you see a really big gap in this, because parents who can afford to send their kids to camp and go on vacations and do the things that are really reinforcing their skills and their learning, those kids are not suffering learning losses. But families who can't afford camps and can't afford vacations, those kids are falling behind. And that has a significant impact on schools and how they have to function.
And on that topic, I actually want to ask, is there any way possible, because I know a lot of people have prices going up, there's a lot, even programs are going up. So is there anything that parents can do, or maybe some places that can show them that there are affordable costs out there for, you know, their children who may not be able to afford the much higher priced programs out there?
Well, there are lots of resources in the Bay Area. One of the resources I always look at is sfkids.org, which is sort of a one-stop shop for information about how to help your kids and what to do. And if you go onto that website, it really has a whole array of activities for children, from camps to outdoor activities. But, you know, there is something called a free public library. And our libraries in San Francisco have really, really terrific reading programs for kids. We also have very, very inexpensive programs through Park and Recreation here in San Francisco. And there's a new program, it's called a Free Family Adventures Pass, that you can get through the public library that gets kids and parents opportunities to go to lots of museums and lots of activities throughout San Francisco. So it's a great resource, sfkids.org.
And I think beyond even going and visiting places, other things that you can do in your home is have your child cook with you when you're making a meal. When you have a child make a meal with you, they're having to measure things and they're getting ingredients and they have to read the labels to know how to follow a recipe. So there's simple things that you can do in the home that help math skills as well as reading. And you shared a story earlier about reading a magazine and then having to translate that back to your mom in Spanish, which is fantastic, a way to teach a child, you know, that they're doing their comprehension work on their reading. And then, of course, for you, you had the benefit of being bilingual. So I think that there's lots of things that we can do in the home that don't cost anything to help summer learning loss. I know it's one of those things that with my kids, I had them reading every day for a certain amount of time, kind of an egg timer, gave me a break, but really it was to help support the reading that they would lose. And it is frustrating for teachers when they go back to school and they're having to remediate mm-hmm. the loss of their learning throughout the summertime. So with the content standards being so high in our schools now, we definitely do not want to see anyone slipping backwards because they have so much that they need to do, even young children.
The only thing I would add is that I think parents should absolutely contact their school or their school district before the end of the school year to find out what the school district may be offering, because we have an increasing number of school districts that are investing in summer learning programs as they have really recognized how devastating summer learning loss can be. And so in San Francisco and in Oakland and in San Jose and all around the Bay Area, we have school districts that are offering free summer learning programs for children. So parents should be contacting their district to find out what's available.
And then on top of that as well, if you even contact your teachers to know what you can do during the summertime, if they're not offering a program at your school site, ask your teachers, what books will they be reading for the next year? Or what is a list of books that children will need to have read? And so I think that there's other things to definitely look at the next grade of teachers and going on websites to see what your fourth grader might need to be learning in the next school year.
And I think there's a word that we have to remember, and that's fun. It's not about drill and kill. It's not making your kids read for 45 minutes and then having to report back with a a very serious study about, you know, what was the major theme in this. It's about kids enjoying reading, enjoying learning how math affects their lives. And I think that's something that we just can't lose sight of. And it also has to do with how children learn. I think one of the great things that we've discovered is that imagination and creativity and having fun are integral to learning. And so we have to use that as the vehicle for summer learning. And so we're not just talking about reading and math. We're talking about fun and camps and art and music and all kinds of things that make kids want to learn, not have to learn.
I think something that stood out to me was the fact that you can teach a child about measurements just by cooking. That seems like something extremely fun. It's something that you get to do with your kid as well. And it's just, you know, help me. Can you measure maybe like 3 quarts of milk for the mac and cheese? Like something very simple. And that could be fun as well as spending time with your child. But what is the difference between a traditional summer school and summer learning experience?
Well, I think one of the things about traditional summer school is it's usually for students that have fallen behind during the school year. They are having to get them up to speed to go forward, and it's more about being behind. A lot of times it will address credit loss for middle and high school students so that they aren't entering into school behind in credits. And the difference, I think, between traditional summer school and summer learning experiences can differ, but I've also seen a tremendous amount of summer school that they're integrating more and more hands-on learning so that it is fun, because that is a much more engaging way to teach students. It's kind of a bummer to go to summer school, but when we can make it engaging and fun and integrate STEM and some of these other pieces of technology that children are using, I think not only are they able to learn, but they're also able to enjoy what they're doing, and they don't feel like they're actually having to learn, and they really are. So I think that's part of it, is the experiences that they get to do in some of the camps. A lot of it is outdoors experiences and being active in the summertime. And there's a tremendous amount of student wellness that is lost over the summertime because they're not eating properly, they're not active, they're not involved in PE. So I think having those activities and going to the park and making sure that they're outside playing sometimes doesn't happen as often because they don't have to go out.
I wanted to pick up on a point that Diana made about the health aspects of the summertime, which I think is really important to point out. You know, there's new and pretty definitive research showing that a lot of kids who are not involved in fun, active summer learning programs are gaining weight much more rapidly in the summertime, which can be very damaging to their short and long-term health. And the study is actually fascinating, and it was sort of shocking for me to hear as a parent, that the summer arrangement that was most unhealthy for children was to be home with their parents all summer because they tended to be less active and eating more. And the healthier arrangements were having more of a mix of time home with the family and out in camps and out participating in organized activities. And so I think that's something very important for parents to be thinking about.
I think that's something that everybody should be thinking about, because a lot of things have been cut off from schools, and the first things to usually go are the physical ed stuff, and then also the creative things like you had mentioned earlier, like music, art. And these are things that most people seem like, oh, it's, you know, it's just music. Like what can they really do? It's not reading. It's not math. It's not something that they can use. But in the long runs, I mean, music, it teaches you counts. It also teaches you about measurements. You have to measure on beat and things like that. Even you said a cooking, and the physical part of it is also going out and playing. And I know that my mother, the one thing that she always stressed during the summer is, you know, make sure you at least read a little bit and make sure you go out and play. Now, nowadays, kids have their iPhones or iPads and they stay games on their phones or anything like that. And they don't go out and experience what it's like to play maybe football out on the street with some friends, or go to the park and just go on the swings and jump off while it's high up in the air. That's what I used to do. I think that that's an extremely important point that all three of you guys have touched upon. It can't only be, you know, sitting down and give me a book report after an hour of reading. You can go out and do something and make it more involved. And I think the creativity that parents put into what their children do also has a lot to do with the rewards, because I know I'm someone who has to do things hands-on in order to learn it. Like, you can tell me about it and you can talk to me about it, but until you actually let me go out there and do it a little bit and maybe, you know, stumble here and there. But that is something that I feel a lot of kids do nowadays. Them just sitting down and hearing isn't the same as going out and doing it. Is that's the message that you guys are giving me, is going out there and doing things.
Yeah, and there's, as has been mentioned, a variety of creative ways to keep your kids learning over the summer. I do think getting them involved in organized activities is really important, you know, for a portion of the summer. You know, again, and there's a wide range of those available, but also, as has been mentioned, a lot of the creative things that you can be doing with your kids. For example, I have a third grader this summer. We are going to have a number of lemonade stands because my daughter is very interested in making a little spending money, but it's also an excellent way for her to reinforce her skills of making change. And there are very, very important math skills embedded in doing that. And so that's one creative way we're going to tackle that this summer.
I have a question really quickly. Where are you going to have this lemonade stand? Because it's getting hot and I might want to pass by and buy a little lemonade. Is it going to be overpriced, like $5?
It will be very reasonable. We'll be at the Richmond Marina. Come visit us.
All right. And that, I think that's a great, I don't want to cut you off, Diana, but I think that's a great thing, because in high school, you have that project in economics where you start a small business and you kind of have to start selling and organizing money. And that's actually a really cool idea because it's something fun. Kids can be creative on how to market it. Kids can get creative on how to, like, expose it and put themselves out there. They get to be creative on how, maybe if they want to make strawberry lemonade, not just regular lemonade. And that encompasses the different types of skills between creativity, math, even marketing and being out there and learning how to go up to people and being like, hey, would you mind, you know, coming to my stand and having a little bit of lemonade?
That's what I was going to comment on, is the interpersonal skills and the communication skills when they're selling the lemonade to someone. Or it's not just the change part, but even the art that goes behind that when they make the signs for their stand. And so there's a lot that goes beyond something like that. And a lot of the ideas that they have in these summer camps are project-based learning. So they have the students come up with a plan like that. And that is fun. That is fun when you can think about what is it that you want to do to make money, or what is something, a project that you would like to go and do. And I think for older students, a lot of things is that they can actually go and volunteer at these camps and to check with their local Boys and Girls Club so that they can get volunteer and community service hours. Lots of schools are requiring that. But not only are they getting the community service and the feeling of helping out in their local communities, but they actually learn a lot about organizing, about following through with things when people are counting on them. So there's a lot on all age groups of children that can benefit from summertime and summer learning.
I think there's another aspect to it, and that is that as we discover and learn from the research about the importance of summer learning, we have to go out in our community and look to see what are the opportunities that are being provided. And if we're not collaborating, if we're not leveraging the resources within our communities, that's something the parents can talk about. Why aren't we having the library and the park and rec and the YMCA and the girls club and the PTA all working together to try to create almost a seamless web of projects for kids during the summer to prevent summer learning loss?
And there's been a lot of research in summer learning loss over the past, 100 years. Why hasn't anything been done to make sure that disadvantaged children have these experiences and being pushed until now?
Well, it's a very good question. And it is true that summer learning loss is a phenomenon that's been documented for about 100 years. It was only about 5 years ago that there was additional, more intensive research done on the link between summer learning loss and the achievement gap that we are seeing between children whose families can't afford camps and other summer learning experiences and children whose families can. And that research is very, very stunning. You know, that's where we learned about the significant amount of reading loss that can happen over the summer, the math skill loss. And it shows that learning losses that take place in the elementary school years, if they happen every summer, because this learning loss is cumulative, about the end of the fifth grade, it becomes impossible for kids to catch up. And by the ninth grade, about 2/3 of that whole gap in achievement levels between low-income children children and their higher income peers can be, about two-thirds of that can be attributed to just what happens in the summer. So when that research emerged about 5 years ago is when we began to be very serious about raising awareness about this phenomenon, which people kind of knew about but didn't really understand the devastating effects that it was having. So that's the reason why we and a lot of partners like the PTA have been working on this campaign called Summer Matters to really make sure parents and educators and policymakers and everyone is aware around what is at stake for kids in the summer.
All right. So you guys say that, well, you have mentioned that the PTA took a strong stand and support for summer learning, and by adapting a resolution at an annual convention. What does this mean for the PTA?
One of the things that the PTA does is it's a very, very democratic organization, and it votes annually on what are our priorities going to be. And we identify issues that we think are so important that we have to spot sunshine it and make sure parents understand and know that this is an important issue. So when we, for example, pass a resolution, we send that information out to, we have over 800,000 members. We let our members know that this is very, very important. And when we take positions on legislation, either at the state level or in our communities, we encourage our members to speak up and advocate for policies that will prevent summer learning loss. So that will mean what we can do in our local communities.
And I think because we help our members know the educational issues that are before us, that gives us a louder voice. And if it's a local policy, school boards can adopt policies. And so to support them having local summer schools at, you know, at the school sites or working with their local school boards. And when we can pair up a school and a boys and girls club and parents and the community and everyone's working around this issue, we know that we can provide a better summer learning experience for children. So I think that we not only want our parents locally to be advocates, but this helps us to advocate at the state level, which is very important. It gives us the authority because our members have told us by passing the resolution that this is a priority for our organization, and it helps us to set priorities for the following year. And so I kind of equate this back to our STEM resolution that I've come and talked to you about before, that we know there was a focus around STEM and how important it was to do science, technology, engineering, and math. And this is also just as important to make sure that we're focusing on this phenomenon of summer learning loss.
And one other thing is that a lot of people talk about the opportunity gap or the fact that there are a lot of youngsters who are falling behind. And as we address it, what's a smart way of doing it? Do we pour money into programs that may not work? Or do we pour money into programs that we know we have the research that shows us that if we can address and stop summer learning loss, it's a very, very smart way of closing that gap.
And I think it's an economical way of helping to close the gap. We know that the money that they spend on these summertime programs is far less than the money they have to spend during the beginning of the school year to remediate what they've lost in the summertime. And not to mention how children feel about it when they are at grade level and they are able to do the work that's put before them. So I think that there's a lot of benefits that go through this investment in summer learning and to have these types of programs for children.
They have opportunities in ways where it's affordable, where it's fun, where it's also educational. And so you guys as the PTA, summer learning is important to you because of...
Well, I think for all the reasons that we've discussed here today, we want to make sure that every child has the opportunity to reach their full potential. And we know that by having programs in place and having the arts and having a well-rounded curriculum and having things that support student learning and can engage them in their relevant learning is very important. And we certainly don't want to see the progress that students make throughout the school year slide behind during the summertime because they don't have the opportunity to go to a camp or to go on vacation. So I think that that's always been PTA's mission, is to make sure that we are there for every child with one voice. And this is exactly it. We want to make sure that every child has the opportunity to reach their potential.
And then are you guys working right now with any type of organizations out there in the communities locally in the Bay Area that you've helped with for the summer learning adaptation yet? Or
the Summer Matters campaign is working with about 80 different organizations, not just here in the Bay Area, but all across the state, in trying to spread the word about how important summer learning is. And we have partners from our state superintendent of schools, Tom Torlakson, and the California Department of Education, down to local school board members and mayors, and a wide variety of organizational partners that have joined onto this campaign because they think it's so important.
So you've already been working with people for a while now. Is there any actual set programs yet, or are they still in the works?
There are a number around the state of California. Here in the Bay Area, we have been working with programs in Oakland and in San Francisco and in Gilroy and in San Jose and out in Concord in the Mount Diablo School District. And we have been building these programs under this model of summer being fun. And the program being fun and not looking like traditional summer school is what is going to keep kids coming. It's what's going to keep kids happy and learning. It's what's going to keep their parents happy. So we have been building these programs, and we want to see more of them happening in as many places as possible.
If you guys can actually like give me, I don't know if there's anything set yet, but is there maybe like a small rundown of what you're possibly implementing in some of these programs?
Sure. A number of them are doing very creative theme-based programming around books that kids want to read. Some of the programs for middle school kids, for example, are picking a novel that is a hot novel that the middle school kids are all into for the moment. So last summer, for one of our programs, chose The Hunger Games.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, of course.
And they designed a lot of their activities around the book. So the kids spent the summer reading the book. They did some journaling and some of their own creative writing around themes around the book. So that was reinforcing their literacy skills. They designed a wide range of outdoor activities related to the themes of the book. I know that might sound dangerous, but very safe and supervised. They were getting physical activity, and they had a partnership with the state parks. And the state parks has actually been a partner in this campaign. And so all of the programs we're working with are utilizing the state park facilities to get kids out and knowing about the state parks. And they also have staff from the state parks who are coming into the classroom and doing environmental science lessons all around themes. And so that's a very typical thing that we see happening. We also are seeing a lot of service learning, as Diana was mentioning before, in community service projects where the kids are reading about particular challenges in their community, whether it's homelessness or hunger or cleaning up the bay. And they involve reading and writing and getting outside and doing projects that all are connected and integrated and reinforcing a whole wide range of skills, and kids are having a great time.
And I think there's one that I like to mention in Alameda Unified School District, and it's around STEM. And they do projects like they create a marble roller coaster, and they make solar ovens so they can make s'mores. I mean, those are really cool, fun programs.
That sounds like a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like you're really doing a lot of learning. They get to do dance, they visit museums, but it's all based around STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's an 8-week program, and it's 6 hours a day. But when you're getting to design marble roller coasters, but that's engineering at its very best. So I think that those are the types of programs that we want to see schools and districts and communities being really creative to think about what they can do to support children. And there's things that they can look up online. Even if you're at home on JPL, there's an education link for children to go, and they can play games online when they're at home that support sciences. So whether they're attending a camp or you're at home, and they just, if they're going to play on the computer, you might as well have them learning something at the same time.
That is a great tip right there from a parent. What about the parents that might not be able to take their kids to the programs because they're not implemented yet within their reasonable district or area?
Yeah, I think the one I would emphasize that Carol mentioned before, I think, which is a big underutilized resource in the summer, is the libraries. And all communities have a public library, and all of them have free reading programs going on where you can go into the library and check out books and bring home the forms, and many of them have prizes for kids for the number of books that they read over the summer. They also have reading time in the library and a variety of activities, and I think it's a resource that every family, regardless of where you sit, should be taking advantage of.
When my kids were very, very small, the highlight of the week was going to the library, going to family reading time, and just having the time to sit at the library and look at all of those books and pick them off the shelf and look to see something new, something I've never seen before. And just the ability to explore and realize that there is a world in the library that you can explore. It's just a wonderful opportunity.
And, you know, check with your local museums to go and look at really old pieces of art and to see things like that. And sometimes that can seem boring to some kids, but sometimes, you know, they really enjoy looking at the old paintings and seeing how old it actually is, or an old piece of pottery that's 3,000 or 4,000 years old and where it's located, and check on a map when you get home. So check to see what's free and to go to, and even going to the zoo.
If you're in San Francisco, that new library Family Pass has some terrific opportunities. You can go to the aquarium or the Asian Art Museum or the California Academy of Sciences. There's a cartoon museum. You can go to the Conservatory of Flowers, the Contemporary Jewish Museum, the Japanese Tea Garden. All of these organizations are working together through this Family Pass at the library. So go to the library and you'll have an opportunity to take your kids to a lot of great things.
And on that note, I want to thank you guys for being here and sharing all this information about summer learning loss and ways to prevent it from happening. There's a bunch of opportunity and resources out there. It's just up to the kids and to the parents to just kind of get out and explore. Basically, I like to think about it as the whole world is your playground. You just get to choose what area you want to play in. Learn in a fun way. That's the whole point. And I want to thank you guys for coming out here and being here. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Let's chat right here on Radio Disney AM 1310.